story is told in Acts, the 20th chapter, that the church is gathering, people are worshiping, and the place was packed. The Apostle Paul, he's speaking, and apparently Paul had a lot to say that day because he's still talking at midnight. And so people are gathered. Scripture says a young man by the name of Eutychus was sitting on a windowsill. While Paul was speaking, the young man got very sleepy. Finally, he went to sleep. That's the first instance that's documented of someone sleeping in church. Now, I'm absolutely sure that will not be the last instance of it. But, you know, I'm only sleeping. We all sleep. You know, we spend about a third of our lives sleeping. When we're asleep, we don't know it because we're asleep. The only way we know we've been sleeping is when we wake up. And for instance, how many of you are snorers? How many snorers in the house? Let me see hands. All right, some of you are pushing your spouse's hand up. Yeah. I mean, if you're a snorer, you only know that you snore because people have told you that you snore. I mean, you've never actually heard yourself. I mean, maybe somebody taped you and go, here, this is what you sound like. But, you know, but you don't know it because you're sleeping. You know, some people can sleep anywhere. I've got a buddy named Chris, and we've traveled together numerous times. But the very first time we traveled together, he said goodnight, flicked the light, and probably 10 seconds later, I hear him snoring. Now, I thought he was messing around, and so I started laughing, and he kept snoring. And again, I thought he was joking, and so I grabbed the pillow, and I threw it across the room, hit him. He came out of the bed like he was being attacked by a wild marshmallow or something, I don't know. But he's like, ah, you know, and I mean, Chris could sleep anywhere. Chris used to commute from Springfield to Peoria, and he did that every day. And so once in a while, he would get to work early, and he'd turn the car off and push the seat back a little bit, and he would nap in the parking lot. And he told me one day that he fell asleep in the parking lot, and it was packed, and he woke up, and he sees all these cars, and he said he was a little bit disoriented. He thought he had fallen asleep in heavy traffic, and so he starts trying to drive, you know. And he said it took him a moment before he goes, oh, okay, I'm not. But, I mean, he could sleep anywhere. You know, I've got a daughter. She can sleep anywhere. When she was about 9 or 10 years old, we were on vacation, and I look back, and you know the assist handle that's up in a car? She's sound asleep, and she's holding on to that thing. And she did that for a long time, just snoozed and just hanging there. And she could sleep anywhere. Other people, that's not the case. The fact is they need everything to be perfect. No sound, no light, perfect temperature, everything just right. Kind of a princess in the pea or prince in the pea kind of thing, you know. All of us need sleep, though. All of us desire to sleep. This story in the New Testament kind of gives us a glimpse into the early church. The early church is kind of emerging at this point. It's progressing. The Apostle Paul is speaking. The Apostle Paul is considered one of the greatest leaders, one of the greatest speakers in church history. And so this story, for me as a pastor, has built my confidence through the year because I know that if people fell asleep while Paul was speaking, I'm okay. You know, so a few of you nod off, I'm okay. You know, every once in a while I'll be speaking and I'll watch somebody nod off. And it's real interesting because you can see them kind of fighting with it. And it kind of goes like this. You know, you see their head drop and then up they come. And it looks like bobbleheads, okay? And but someone, I'll watch them kind of battling with it. And, you know, you see them go down and the person sitting next to them will elbow them. And they almost come out of the seat. when I see people fighting it, okay, I just think this, but I'm like, I'd love to mess with them, you know, just mess with them. Like, start talking really soft and maybe rhythmic so that maybe they would just, it would just, and then finally go to sleep and then make a loud noise, go, whoa, how about that? And watch them, you know, it'd be kind of cool, fall out of the seat or something like that. I know you're going, really, our pastor, this is what he thinks about. This is pastors gone wild, okay? All right? Paul is speaking in Troas. Paul knew that this would probably be the last time that he would be speaking to this group of Christians. A wealthy Christian had opened up his home. The place is packed because when Paul was in town and the word got out, people showed up. And so people are there. They're listening to Paul. Paul's preaching and teaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. They're in this three-story mansion, standing room only. It probably was hot and humid. Then they got all these lamps that are burning, so the room's really getting warm at this point. And they would light the lamps because, one, it's, you know, they went till midnight, so they needed to be able to see. But they also would light lamps, and they would light extra lamps of a night because it was a signal. It was a sign to the outside world. Anybody walking by, they'd see an extra bright room. They knew the church was gathered there. It was an invitation. For it's basically saying, everybody's welcome. Come on in. So Paul, he's speaking. People are hanging on his every word. I'm going to guess people could see the scars on his face from being persecuted. You know, maybe they could see the stress and the anxiety. They definitely would have caught the passion and the urgency with which he was delivering a message. I mean, this message that he was communicating for Paul was the most important thing in the world. You know, he knew that a relationship with Jesus Christ was all that really mattered. So you got this young man, Eutychus. Eutychus means fortunate. And Eutychus, he found a really good spot in the room. He's sitting up on a windowsill. Got a nice breeze coming in the window. He's got that elevated vantage point so he can see really well. He's kicked back. He's taking it in. Now, back then, they didn't put a clock on the church. Basically, the church would gather and they would see where the Holy Spirit took them. So people would settle in for the long haul. You know, they were ready to spend a lot of time together. The Bible says that Paul continued speaking till after midnight. Eutychus, he's really comfortable. He starts yawning. He's fighting it. He keeps lifting his head, he keeps trying to shake it off. And at some point, sleeping. Now, Eutychus, he's floating upstream. He's right in the middle of a dream. And Scripture says this, Acts 20, verse 9. It says, young man by the name of Eutychus was sitting on a windowsill. While Paul was speaking, the young man got very sleepy. Finally, he went to sleep and he fell three stories. Where'd we go there? Yeah. Finally, he falls three stories all the way down to the ground. And when they picked him up, he's dead. Now, the situation becomes a nightmare for him. Now, think about this. He's sitting on the windowsill. He falls out the window three stories down. Whoa! Hits the pavement. They rush down. people are surrounding him. They're yelling, he's dead. Then scripture says, Paul went down. Paul went down, bent over Eutychus. He took him in his arms and he said, don't worry, he's alive. Paul quits speaking, heads downstairs, looks at him, goes, hey, he's only sleeping. You think he's dead, but he's only sleeping. And then Paul kneels down. I don't know if he laid hands on him, just took him in his arms, but he prays, and it's a miracle. He's alive. Scripture goes on, verse 11, and he says, then Eutychus went down, went upstairs, and bent over Eutychus. He took him in his arms and said, don't worry, he's alive. Don't worry, he's alive. You know, he is alive. Eutychus, first person documented sleeping in church. Pretty exciting. But here's the harsh reality. A lot of people are still sleeping. You know, some of you today are sleeping. I mean, maybe not physically, but some of you are sleeping spiritually. You're sleeping morally in your life. You're sleeping when it comes to this amazing plan that God has for your life. And so what I want to do today is wake you up. And I know anytime I have a message like this, the temptation is to go, my spouse needs to hear this. I mean, she's sleeping, he's sleeping, you know. My kids need to hear this. Wow, they're sleeping. You know, my neighbor ought to hear this. They're seriously sleeping. And what I want to say, don't do that. Don't do that. I want you to think about you this morning. You know, sleeping's a unique thing. A lot of us don't even know that we're sleeping. You know, we realize that we're sleeping when that alarm goes off. Beep, 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 beep. You know, when you respond to that alarm, you're going to see it flash in 5:14. That's Ephesians 5:14. It says, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. When you're sleeping, you don't understand the will of God. When you're sleeping, You don't know what to do in life many times. You know, when you're sleeping, you don't live wisely. You make a lot of mistakes. You know, when you're sleeping, you can't live with God shining on your life. When you're sleeping, you sleepwalk through life. And you stumble a lot, a lot. I don't know how many times I have known people that may have been in church every week, you know, maybe serving, very active. And then you find out their real life. And you find out that they're in the cesspool of sin. And I think, how could that happen? Well, friends, I'll tell you how. They were asleep. I mean, they were present, but they were asleep. They were sleepwalking through life, and they went off the edge. Oh! Some of you need to wake up before you fall. Oh, please don't wake me. No, don't shake me. You know, leave me where I am. I'm only sleeping. Careful, careful. I mean, spiritually, sleeping is dangerous. Sleeping spiritually has eternal consequences. Sleeping spiritually will cost you more than you could ever imagine in your life. Some of you are sleeping when it comes to knowing God in your life. Some of you know about God, but you don't know God. You know, we talked about that last week. A lot of people, when they think about God, they think religion. They think rules. They think about getting on that performance track. In fact, a lot of people these days believe that if they just are good enough, they'll be okay. Now, here's the problem with that. You will never be good enough. You will never be able to do enough. You will never be nice enough. You will never be holy enough. You will always come up short in your life. Scripture says that we fall short of what God expects. You know, Scripture says that the penalty for sin, and we've all sinned, the payment, what is due, it's death. Scripture says you can't work your way to heaven. It says it's not what we do. We talked about this last week, but it's what God's done for us. In other words, it's about a relationship with God. You know, God loved us so much that he sends his son, he sends Jesus to this world to die on the cross for you and me. That has nothing to do with what I do, but it has to do with what God's done. And you've got to come to a point in your life and you go, you know what, I accept that. I believe that. Salvation's only possible when you wake up, when you recognize who you are, when you recognize that your condition that you're in, when you're willing to say, you know what, I'm going to turn from sin. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then you start living in a relationship with him. Some of you need to wake up and you need to take that step. Now, many of you have done that. And some of you are still sleeping. I mean, Christians, let me ask you, you know, are you willing and are you allowing God to lead and guide your life and every step in your life? You know, are you running your decisions through God? Are you syncing up with God's word? Are you seeking God's will in your life? Are you living a life that is God-honoring? Because Satan is sly. I mean, he's tricky. And he loves to lull Christians to sleep. He gets Christians really, really comfortable. Kick back, take it easy. And then he sings lullabies to them. Rock-a-bye believer in the treetop. Snoozing will cause your growth to stop. Ignore the alarm, staying in bed. Settle for less than God's best, sleepy head. Friends, be careful. Shh, don't wake them. Shh, they're sleeping. Sure, they're a believer, but they're sound asleep. Christians, wake up. You will find that God has this amazing plan for your life if you'd wake up. If you would just seek him with everything you say, everything you do, you would be amazed where God would lead you. You'd be amazed at how God would bless you. You would be amazed at what God could accomplish in and through you. But it is not going to happen if you're doing your own thing, if you're sleeping, if it's all about you. You know, the evil one, he wants to lull you to sleep. He wants you comfortable. He wants you to relax. He wants you to kick back. He wants you sleeping. And I know, as I said, some of you go, oh, what's the big deal? I mean, I'm only sleeping. Friends, we are to allow God to comfort us during tough times. But we are to get uncomfortable for Jesus Christ. You know, we talk a lot about this around here. It is not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. You know, we're to get uncomfortable for the cause. We're to get uncomfortable so that we can lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. If you don't like getting uncomfortable for Jesus Christ, friends, you might be sleeping. Some of you are asleep to knowing God. Some of you are asleep to sowing in your life. You know, God wants to sow through you. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the harvest. You know, the fact is that if I sow strawberries, I'm not going to harvest pineapples, am I? Whatever I sow is what I'm going to reap. And Christians, if you're sleeping, you're not sowing, which means you're not reaping. We all have X amount of time on this planet. We don't know how much. In fact, we are not guaranteed anything but now. We know we got now. And we are called to leverage whatever time we have to do great things for God. Christians, don't sleep your life away. You know the story about Eutychus. The scriptures start out, it says, on the first day of the week, we met to break bread together. Now, we miss it, but that word first, it is a loaded word. Anytime you see that word, most of the time, it is just loaded full. Because the church gathered on the first day of the week, Sunday, as we look at it. Why Sunday? Well, it was Resurrection Day. And so the church gathered on the first day of the week to worship God first. You know, when we gather, we're giving God that first element of our time, the first day of the week. We're putting God first. Say a lot of firsts here. When we do that, Scripture and experience has taught me that God blesses the rest of the week. You know, when I give God the first bit of my time each day, you know, give God that first bit of energy, you know, through prayer or meditation or reading scripture. God blesses the rest of the day. It is a law of harvest. It is a law of sowing and reaping. It's a law of firsts, you know, first fruits, first day of the week, first portion of the day. When you put God first, not second or third or fourth, first, God blesses the rest of it. You know, Galatians, Paul writes, he says, don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. A person will always reap just the kind of crop they sow. Are you asleep when it comes to sowing? And can I say something to parents here? What are you sowing into your children? Because some of you are asleep on this front. When it comes to your kids' spiritual welfare, I mean, you're not actually asleep as a parent, but you are being lulled into the world's plans for your children. Off doing this and doing that, you got your kids and all kinds of stuff that takes them out of Sundays. And friends, your kid ends up being hit and miss. You're not giving God first. You know, a lot of families are getting lulled to sleep. Dangerous stuff. What will happen years from now, as a parent, some of you will be looking at the past and you'll go, I am so glad that I made God first in our family, that I put a priority on God. I am so glad I sowed God into my children first. I mean, I wasn't a perfect parent, but I got that one right. Or, if you've fallen asleep, friends, I'll tell you, it's usually not pretty. But a day's coming when you will realize, you will look back and you will realize and you will say, you know what, I got lulled to sleep. What was I thinking? There are eternal consequences. Eternity's in the balance. It's the difference between a great life and a struggling life. You know, some of you wonder today, you go, why is my life so messed up? You know, why are my kids in deep weeds? Why are they wondering? Why are they struggling? How did my priorities get so messed up and scrambled? Many times, not always, but many times you track it back, it's because God wasn't first. Be very careful, very careful. Be consistent. You know, wake up. You've got a great church. We've got a great program for our kids here. Get your kids in the zone. Be consistent. God first, God first. Again, it is a law of sowing and reaping. You know, some of you are asleep when it comes to your talents and your abilities. You know, God has gifted you in a unique way. He's given you certain talents, certain abilities, certain experiences. And we are called, Christians, we are called to leverage those abilities in the local church. We are called to use those things to make a difference in this world, to mark eternity with what we do. And when we use those abilities, we are sowing seed. And when we do that, God says, you know what? I'm going to multiply those seeds. He increases the harvest. You know, we're sowing seeds, and we get to see some of the harvest now. We're sowing seeds, and they won't be harvested for generations, but we're doing it now. You know, some of you are sleeping when it comes to your resources in life. In fact, some of you are tripping through life financially because you refuse to just put God first. You know, some of you will never realize the extent of what God wants to do in your life, how God wants to bless you, because you just refuse to put God first. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you got a little or a lot. The fact is, you know, is God first? Is God first when it comes to your finances? Is God first? Do you give God the first fruits? Or are you sleeping, going, oh, mine, mine? It all comes from God. It all belongs to God. We are merely stewards. We get to manage it for a while. And we're called to give back to God, to return that first tenth of our resources to Him. And when we leverage those in the local church, God blesses our resources. I mean, when I step in and go, here, God, again, it's about sowing and reaping. Again, if you want God's best, if you want the best that God has to offer for you, if you want to discover God's will for your life, it's God's first in everything. God first in everything. You know, when God's first, then He multiplies. When God's first, He blesses. When God's first, He guides your steps. He provides. Wherever He's first, He works. Some of you are asleep. You don't know you're asleep. Some of you are asleep when it comes to knowing Jesus Christ. Some of you are asleep and you're not sowing. Christians, some of you are sleeping and you're not growing. You're not maturing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're floating upstream, kick back, taking it easy. Oh boy, this is fun. You believe life is about me. Me, 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 me. Everything's about me. Me. Come to church, it's about me. I didn't like that. What's in it for me? You know. In fact, one of the easy ways to figure out if you're sleeping on this front is if your first question, when you face an opportunity, you face a situation, a choice in life, is you go, what's in it for me? Some of you are sleeping. Don't even know you're sleeping. Some of you know a lot of stuff about God. You know a lot of Bible stuff. Tons of it. You're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to Scripture. But you're sleeping. Because you're not applying it. See, I believe it's very possible to be knowing, to know a lot, and not growing. In fact, Jesus taught a lot on this topic, the danger of knowing. I think that was the contention that Jesus had with the Pharisees. They knew Scripture. They were scholars of Scripture. They had a lot of rules that they followed. But that knowledge, all that stuff that they knew, was not transforming their lives. It was not changing their heart. Why? Because they were sleeping. I mean, I think that's why over 70% of the New Testament, of Jesus' words, stuff that's recorded at least, was application-oriented. See, the issue many times in life is not a lack of knowledge. Oh no, I don't know what to do. See, that's not the issue many times. It's not the lack of knowledge, it's doing what we know we should do and what God's called us to do. You know, are you allowing God to speak to you through the Holy Spirit? Are you allowing God to speak to you through Scripture and through His Word? And then the real question is, are you allowing those things to change you? Are you applying them to your life? Again, we're going to stumble. All of us will stumble. But are we allowing God to transform us? And if so, then we're growing. And if you're growing, you'll know you're growing. Because you'll be serving. You'll get out of your comfort zone. You will look for opportunities to be used by God to make a difference in people's lives. You become other-oriented in your life. When you serve, you grow in your life. And when you grow, you know it. You know, we're not here to sleep. We're here to serve. And the question is, are you growing? Are you growing? Growth doesn't just happen. It's something you work at. You strive for, you struggle with. If you think you've arrived, you're sound asleep, you're dreaming, all right? You want to grow, you know, you make a point of being here every week. You get into God's Word and you spend a few minutes with God each day. You make that a high priority in your life. You get on the field and you get in the game and you allow God to use you and you start serving other people. You get other focused. You allow God to work in you and through you. Don't sleep. Don't sleep. Friends, this is not a sleepy church. That's why we're growing. It's not sleepy around here. You know, I love Martin Luther, the great reformer. And he had a dream. He was sleeping one night and he had a dream. And he was dreaming about hell. And he saw the devil. And he saw all the demons gathered around him. And one of the demons in his dream approaches Satan. He says, Satan, there were these Christians. They were out in the desert. And they were traveling in a caravan. And so I caused all these tigers to attack them and kill them all. Satan listened and he's like, well, that was stupid. Now souls are with Jesus. I mean, that does nothing for me or for my kingdom. And another of the demons went to Satan. He says, well, I saw these missionaries. They were on a boat and they were on their way to this remote island. He said, that caused a great storm. Man, it was a big one. Waves hit the boat. The boat sank. All those Christians were killed. Satan just shaking his head. He's like, you guys don't get it. I'm after their souls. Then one of the wise demons spoke up. He goes, I've been working on this guy for 10 years. I finally lulled him to sleep. Satan jumps up off the throne. He's jumping around. He's celebrating, standing ovation. He goes, that's what I'm looking for. See, another person sleeping. I'm only sleeping. Wake up, church. I'm only sleeping. We have fallen, or some have fallen into a deep, dangerous sleep. Much more dangerous than the sleep Eutychus fell into. Pray and ask God to wake you up. You know, ask God to point out that area in your life where you're dreaming. You think you got it together and reality is you don't. That area where you're sleeping. I'm only sleeping. God, please wake me up. God, shake me. God, do not leave me where I am. That's my prayer for this church, that we be wide awake, full throttle, wide open, never sleeping, just running and allowing God to use us. Well, let's bow for a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, I pray that you would shake us awake. When those drowsy feelings come over us, you'd just shake us, do whatever you need to do. Get our attention. God, do not allow us to stay the way we are. I pray till we take our last breath on this planet that we're growing, changing, transforming. Use us, Lord. Help us make a difference in this world. God, I pray that we'd always be sowing, that we would always allow you to use us. We'd always grow. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise this day and every day. God's people said. There'll be prayer teams up here after service. You got something in your life, you need prayer, please come up. Let them pray for you. That's what the church is called to be. Let's stand and worship again.